Today we're going to be doing the 40th Psalm. It is a neglected Psalm. I chose this Mizmor because of its opening. Because last time when we learned the 27th Mizmor, where it said, Kavel Hashem, Chazak v'yametz libecha, v'kavel Hashem. And here, Lamnatzeach leDavid Mizmor, it picks up that very same theme, that same charge at the end of the 27th Psalm, where it said, have hope, have courage. And he says here, Kavo kiviti Hashem. I hoped, indeed hoped, to God. Vayet Eli. And he bent down to me. He turned to me. Vayishma shavati, and he heard my plea. So right away you're seeing here not somebody left in trouble, but clearly somebody describing the fact that his prayer had been answered. And so it seems like it's opening up on a very optimistic, happy way, describing this in past tense. Vayaleni mi bo sha'on. He brought me up from a pit of the word sha'on. And I want to deal with that word for a moment. The word sho'ah and sha'on are to some degree related here. And therefore Ibn Ezra says that they are one and the same. And it means a pit of destruction. A pit of desolation. And hence the word Holocaust, okay? Malbim, as well as Radak, say that the word Sha'on implies a torrent. And it's very much like a pit of a torrential waters that are not just standing there that you drown, but that are in fact raging like a whirlpool. And you can't possibly get from out of them. And that's why the next line reinforces that. Mitit hayaven. Tit hayaven. Tit is a type of clay. Tit hayaven is quicksand. The more you struggle to get out of it, the deeper you go. Vayakem al selahavli. He didn't just pull me out and drag me out, but put my feet down on a hard rock, so he had a foothold, do you understand? Konen ashurai, and he established my feet so that he would make sure that he's steady on his feet. Somebody, it's one thing to pull him out, but then if you might fall again and slip again. No, he made sure that I would be standing on firm ground, and only when I would no longer shaky did he let me go. Vayiten b'fi shir chadash, and he put in my mouth a new song. Tehillah le'elokeinu, a praise to our God. So that yiru rabim v'yirau v'yiftichu b'Hashem. Many will see and they will fear. Notice that play on the word lirot, v'yira, and stand in awe or fear, and will trust in God. In other words, he did it not only for my sake, but he did it so that I would sing, and that's why I'm doing this song, so that others would learn from my example. Now, clearly, whoever was here was in deep trouble, was drowning. He was, if you like, rock bottom. And the Rabbanu Shalom lifted him up, and now he needs to sing a new song. A new song, never before sung before. Ashrei ha-gever, and here's the song. Ashrei ha-gever asher sam Hashem miftacho. How happy, how secure is the man who puts his trust in the Ribono shel Olam. Ve'lo pana el rehavim ve'satei kazav. And did not turn his trust to Rahav. Rahav means people of hubris, people of great pride. It means people of great power. He didn't rely on them. Sfornos says he didn't rely on magicians, wizards. The satay kazav. Satay is like with a sin. It means those that are misleaders, says Rashi. Radak says, like magicians, like palm readers. And Sfonos says, like witch doctors. Didn't rely on them. Those that mislead you, falsely guiding you. Rabot asita ata Hashem Elokai. You did much. And as a result, you now, Hashem, are my God. Earlier he said, our God. My God is that sense of the personal God that's not only treating me as part of a nation, but as coming to my distinct aid, sees me as an individual. Nifleotecha umachshevotecha eleinu. Your wonders and all your plans, all them are done for what? They're meant to guide us. To do what? To turn to Him. To have a relationship with Him. Ein aroch elecha. There's none who can be compared, who can be measured against you. Agida ve'adabera. I will tell, I will speak. Atzmu mesaper. But they are too strong, too powerful, too many to tell. In other words, I can talk from now and forever. Lehagid is to relay something. V'higadeta levincha is to relay something that happened to you. Adaber is to admonish, to teach. You understand? And I can do this, he says, from now until forever. It's way, way more than one can tell a story. This can't be told. So what can I do? Zevach u'mincha lo chafatzta. For me to bring you offerings and gifts, and you don't want them. Oznaim karitali. But instead, you dug out ears for me. In other words, you're not interested in what I can give you, the promises I'll make. You know, you stand by me and I'll bring you offerings, because you don't want them. Instead, what do you want? Same words that Shmuel said. God doesn't want offerings, He wants you to listen, obey. Ola v'chata'a lo sha'alta. You never asked to bring an ola v'chata'a. Now some tell us, wait a minute. Of course you did. Look at all Vayikra. There's so many commandments about how many korbanot we're supposed to bring. And every one of our davenings we say, Mipnei chata'enu, galinu me'arzenu, because of our sins we're no longer in our country, we can't possibly bring the offering that you commanded. Look at this, we don't have a means of appeasing you, kivyachol. And yet, he comes here and tells us, you didn't want them. The truth is, and Yirmiyahu says this, before Chet HaEgel, the Ribbono Shel Olam never gave us any mitzvahs about offerings. Before Chet HaEgel, there was never any mitzvahs about korbanos. He gave us the Ten Commandments, and then we went and sinned, and felt that we needed, if you like, an objective correlative. We needed a physical way of showing our fealty. And so in some respects, korbanot, at least according to the Rambam, was a concession. But officially, what he really wanted was not that. He wanted us to obey, to follow a certain way of life, to have a relationship with him. He didn't need our gifts. And why would he need our gifts? Everything is his. Anyway, there's nothing that we could possibly bring to him. Radak, on the other hand, and I've made here a note to read it to you, he says, this is exactly what Yirmiyahu says. At the time of Har Sinai, I never spoke to you about giving you offerings, and I didn't take you out of the land of Egypt in order for you to bring me gifts. Furthermore, most of these offerings, whether it's Zevach u'mincha, which is given as a thanks, or onola v'chata'a lo sha'alta is brought for sin. Don't sin and don't bring me korbanos. You don't really want that. Instead, what did you want? And this is the feet writing. I know you don't want that. You've saved my life. I want to thank you. What's the best way of doing it? As amalti, knowing that all the offerings I give you will not satisfy what I really owe you, as amalti, then I said meaning I thought, hine bati b'mgilat sefer katuv alai, I've come to you with a scroll, a book, written about me. In other words, what's the best gift that he's going to give God? The song, the poem that he's inscribing, writing what it is that happened to him so that others would learn from it. If he brings a korban because he sinned or did something bad, who's going to learn from it? But if I inscribe it for all future generations, they might learn from this. Malbim wants to argue differently. Even if you didn't want zevach u'mincha, even if you didn't ask for enola v'chata'a, I need to bring it to you. Why do I need to bring it to you? For the same reason that Adam HaRishon, Anat commanded, brought it. It was a natural gesture. When you bring somebody a gift, it really isn't because they need it. I know we sometimes try to buy gifts that somebody will really want and need, but most of the time a gift is really nothing more than a gesture. And it's the gesture that is important. Comes Malbim and says as follows, even if it were not commanded to bring offerings either for sin or as a gesture of gratitude, it would be brought by virtue of the moral law that's inscribed on the Megillat Sefer Alai. The Megillat Sefer, the scroll, the book on me, on my heart. That's inscribed on by virtue of the fact that I have an intuitive sense, because I was created human, that says that what you do is when somebody's done you a good deed, is that you
return it.
You try to give them something. You try to present a tangible gesture that indicates that you are grateful for it. Rashi says, no. At Matan Torah, you didn't command it. But later on, in Megillat Sefer, in the Torah, inscribed on a scroll, you did. So at first you didn't, but in Torah Moshe, you did. Either way, La'asot Ritzoncha Elokai Chafatzti. All I really want, and by the way, he uses the word Chafatzti, mm-hmm. as opposed to Ritzoni, because Chafetz is a visceral desire. I viscerally desire to do your will. V'toratcha betoch me'ai. And since he mentioned that it's visceral, he says, your Torah is inside my kishkas. If it weren't, I wouldn't be me. To violate this innate sense about what is the right thing to do would be to, in a sense, commit spiritual suicide. I wouldn't be me. It's no longer because you want it and I don't, I'll go along with it because I have no choice, because you're the powerful one. It's what I really want. Because when you love somebody, what makes them happy makes you happy. And that's his relationship with Hashem. And as a result, Bisalti tzedek bekahal rav. Psorot tovot is good news. I spread the good news of your tzedek, your righteousness, in amongst the great community all around me. Hine sfatai lo echle, I won't. Kalu means to imprison. I won't tie back or muzzle my lips. Hashem atayadata. Hashem, you know. Now you know that in Ivrit you don't need to say the word ata. if you say yadata, because yadata means you know. So why do I add? When I add the unnecessary pronoun, it means to the exclusion of all others. Hashem, only you know. Know what? My real intention. What's really inside me. What my real feelings are, though my words and actions are quite inadequate to express them. And that's what he tells us. Tzidkatcha lo kisiti betoch libi. Your righteousness, I didn't hide them inside my own heart. I didn't hide it because I tell about it. I'm not keeping what you did to me. Inside me. Emunatcha utshuatcha amalti. Your faithfulness, your salvation, the fact, not my faith in you, your faithfulness to me, that you keep your promises to me, your fact that you saved me, amalti. I say it, I don't keep it inside me. Lo kichadeti chasdecha. I never denied or diminished your great love for me. Ve'amitcha lekahal rav. And your truth, I said it in front of all the people. Why would you not? Because in order to tell it, he needs to also admit that he had had flaws, that he had sinned. But he didn't mind, in fact, sharing that with others to explain how God had pulled him out of the lowest pit. So he shared all that. Secondly, he never tried to make it look like the great salvation or the great victories were his doing. His claim here is, I could not have done this were it not for you. And I don't mind sharing it with others. This is not a matter that I am worried about whether or not this might make me look less than I otherwise would be in the eyes of the public. Now there's a sudden change. Up until now it was all past tense, and how I'm responding in the present to what you did for me in the past. And here is where the change occurs. Ata Hashem, lo tichla rachamecha mimeni. I don't put a muzzle, I don't withhold back my words of praise. You, God, don't hold back your mercy from me. Chazdecha ve'amitcha tamid yitzuni. Your love and your truth always guarded me. Ki afafu alai ra'ot ad ein mispar. Because I'm wrapped around by troubles, by evil that cannot be counted. Hisiguni avonotai, my sins have caught up with me. Velo yacholti lirot, and I could not see. What does it mean, I could not see? I didn't see it coming. Number one. More importantly, I didn't see, says Sfono, given all of my troubles, how I could ever restore myself, how I could ever do tshuva. I couldn't see my way back. Atzlu misarot roshi, they're more strong and more many than the hairs of my head. V'libi azavani, and my heart has left me. He is so despairing, so lost, so depressed that he feels, remember earlier it was about what was inside his heart, he would not hide it, it's all gone. The sense that he's gone beyond redemption. Retzei Hashem lehatzileni. Please God, want again to save me. Hashem le'ezrati chusha. Please God, rush to my aid. Yevoshu ve'yachperu yachad. May they be shamed and humiliated, all those that sought my soul, mevakshei nafshi lisfota, to wipe her out, to kill my soul, those that want to kill my life. Yisogu achol v'yikalmu, let them turn back and be shamed. Chafetzei ra'ati, those that desire, yearn for evil to befall me. Yashomu al ekev bostam, let them turn on their heels in shame. Those who say to me, ha'ach, 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 ha'ach is an old chair. Sometimes to cheer on the team that's winning, and sometimes to chair somebody in their fall. Go on, go on, wanting to see his destruction. Yasisu v'yismechu b'cha kol mevakshecha. May they rejoice and be happy, all those who seek you. May they always say, Yigdal Hashem, may God be increased. Ohavei tshuatcha, those that love your salvation. Yigdal Hashem, it means that may the midas harachamim become bigger and override midas hadin. V'ani, but as for me, ani ve'evyon adoshem yechashavli, I am the poorest, the lowliest. But ezrati u'mefalti ata, but you've been my help, you've been my refuge. Elokai al tacha, God, don't be late. Our question really is, when does David write this? When does David say this? Radak says this is written by somebody who was sick, who was healed, and now what happened? And the cancer has returned. Rashi says this was said about Am Yisrael, for Am Yisrael. They were sick, they were enslaved, they were in gullus and alienated. They were redeemed and reached the heights of all human beings, and then they fell again. Malbim says, this was written by David after he had managed to escape miraculously his enemies. And he brought great offerings and sang new songs in praise to God in front of everyone for his great victories. And then what happened? And then trouble started all over again. Mm-hmm. Because in the days when he was pursued by Shaul, he was innocent. When he is persecuted by his own son Avshalom, he feels that he has it coming. Mm-hmm. And this time he feels guilty and doesn't know if God will save him this time as well. So according to the Malbim, this is being written when he is persecuted by
Avshalom.
Looking back at the great wonders that occurred earlier, and then seeing his situation right now, written at a time when he had not yet been rescued, when things looked like it was coming to a horrible